Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more. Talking sports, yes we do. Talking sports.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. We missed you. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
Hey, Ray, it's Tay. I'm Eric Taylor. Give us a call. Let's talk some sports. 718-664-9098. It is a manic Monday night. We are the prelude to Monday Night Football, so let's have some fun. Tweet at us, Instagram, Facebook us, Ray and Tay Today. Check out our email. Send us your thoughts, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com, rayandtaytoday.com. We are here for the people. Of course, it's a heavy football show, but before we get into the NFL and NBA and college hoops, we got to start off with the breaking news of baseball and, of course, the Heisman. Ray, it's just come across earlier today that Pete Rose's lifetime ban was held up by Mansford, the commissioner. And on the good news, Johnny Cueto signs with the Giants. So we'll talk about Pete Rose first. I want to ask you, I think that I get it. I totally understand. The man has been gambling. He's this, that. He gambled while he was a player manager, yada, yada, yada. But at some point, when you are telling the history of anything, you have to tell the good, the bad, and the ugly, because you're telling the truth. And the Hall of Fame, you might want to call it whatever it is, but it's a museum of the history of baseball. And if you don't have the all-time hit leader, the all-time home run leader, then it's almost lying to generations for history. And so no matter what the man has done, he hasn't killed anybody. He did some gambling. It was wrong. I just think, for me, this is why baseball is not my first love anymore. This sums it up right here. And I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just being forgiving, but maybe it's not about forgiving. Maybe it's just about the guy was one of the best baseball players I've ever seen in my life, and he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And on the plaque, it can say whatever it wants. What do you think?
So I don't think anybody would deny that he's one of the top baseball players. I mean, God, he's got the hit record, and that'll never get broken. I mean, you hate to say never, but it's probably one of the almost untouchable records. And think about Derek Jeter, who had a pretty healthy career and was starting to come into his own at 19, 20. He didn't even come close. I mean, I think Pete Rose at 4,250 or something like that, and Derek Jeter maybe ended at 3,400 or 3,500 hits. So he's still a good, 700 hits. And at this age, 700 hits probably takes you four seasons to get 700 hits. Four good seasons.
Exactly.
Maybe five. Yeah. So I hear you. To use a hockey analogy, and I agree with you, to use a hockey analogy, I think you got to put these guys in the penalty box, but eventually you got to let them out of the penalty box because, like you said, they didn't kill anybody, and he did some stuff that baseball probably isn't proud of, but at the same time, for 20-some-odd years with Philly and with the Reds, he was the top player in the game, or one of the top
players in the
game.
The poster boy for baseball.
Yeah.
Charlie Hustle, yeah.
I'm conflicted myself because, to me, they should all be in. I don't want to lump him in with the steroids guys, but I will for this argument. They were baseball players, and it happened. What they did on the field is undeniable. Now, if you use steroids or if you did some stuff that baseball's not proud of, you know what? Like you say, put it on their plaque. Make it known.
Yep.
But there's no doubt what they achieved on the field between the lines. So nobody's taking that away. And so it looks a little bit ridiculous that the record books say one thing and the museum – doesn't have these guys in it. So, like I said, hockey, man, you know, give him a major misconduct, but let him out of the box, you know?
Yeah, and it's so funny that you say that. Because, Ray, you're so right, and at some point, isn't it a better lesson that you take your son or daughter up there and they see Pete Rose or Barry Bonds and you say, this guy was amazing, da-da-da-da, and then you say, but unfortunately he made some bad mistakes that, you know, that's why it says da-da-da-da-da, and that's why it says da-da-da-da, because he cheated this way or he did that. It's how you teach lessons to your children. To sort of act like the guy didn't exist, that's a complete fallacy, because they could look up on Google or watch some sports show, and then they'll be like, well, wait a minute, how come Pete Rose isn't there, Dad, or where's Barry Bonds? You know what I mean? It's sort of like it's just bad. Anyway, no need to talk about it. We've talked about Pete Rose and his whole stuff. I just think it's a sad day for baseball, and somehow the writers should be able to get the vote on him. We'll see if that happens one day, and we'll figure it out. But how about, real quick, the arms race? Because not only did the Giants get Samardzija a couple of weeks ago,
literally,
now they get Johnny
Cueto.
Yeah,
race.
And they get Johnny Cueto. So we already talked about what the Cubs and Diamondbacks have done and the Red Sox, but now you throw in there the San Francisco Giants with Madison Bumgarner, Samardzija, and Cueto. How good is their three, Ray, in that starting rotation?
I mean, it's fantastic. And remember, these Giants won every other year. You know, they won three in 5 years. So they have a
winning
pedigree.
So are we back?
Maybe. They locked down their second baseman. They've got Joe Panik. Represent and Crawford and Panic, actually. They've got that middle of the infield locked down. Buster Posey, you know, so up the middle, they're strong. Pagan, they're strong up the middle. Great move for them. They're right back in it. I tell you what, you know, the Dodgers looked to be the team to beat for the next 5 years, but your Diamondbacks just got better. The Giants, like I said, the three-time defending champs over the last 6 years just got a lot better. The Dodgers, with all that payroll and losing Greinke, they got to be worried a little bit.
Oh, they could, right now, they could very easily be, what, fourth place in the NOS? Maybe third? I mean,
yeah, I don't know the Padres, where the Padres sit, but yeah.
You know, so anyway, that's going to be fascinating. It was a good sports weekend. We got to give our props and congratulations to Alabama running back number 2, who at one point wanted to transfer. He was getting upset at Bama early in his Bama career. Derrick Henry wins the Heisman. What was it, 31 first-place votes, the 20th highest or the 20th closest ranking. Christian McCaffrey comes in second. Our boy Deshaun Watson is in third. Number 4, Baker Mayfield, and number 5, Keenan Reynolds. And you saw in the voting that Mayfield and Reynolds were so far away that it wasn't close, so that's why they weren't invited. And that's fine, you know, it is what it is. I always think you should just bring the 5 kids, because it's just great for them to be recognized for their great seasons. And it would have been amazing for the helicopter to bring the kid from Navy after the game, and Navy wins, and he gets, what, 84 or 85 touchdowns. I mean, it's just amazing. The kid is,
that
you know,
cool, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been cool. But anyway, let me ask you this. Were you, were you surprised at McCaffrey won the Northeast, or did he come? No, he won the Far West, and then I guess he either won the Northeast or came in. No, I think he won the Northeast as well. Were you sort of surprised that he got the respect that he did? And did you think Watson should have been second, or was it right he being third? I mean, or is it just semantics because they were also great? What were your thoughts on the whole thing?
So, I thought it ended the way it should, right? So then you start to talk, mm-hmm. Well, who did they vote for in the Midwest, and who, you know, in Big Ten country, and then who did they vote for in SEC country? And that was getting into too much of the details. I think the voters ultimately got it right. Christian McCaffrey had an unbelievable season, and when you can
Amazing.
Break Barry Sanders' record for all-purpose yards, that is Heisman worthy. So in any other year, he would win a Heisman. Now,
yeah.
Derrick Henry broke Herschel Walker's record for rushing in the SEC, tied his record with 23 touchdowns. So he led the nation in rushes, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, and he did it in the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really enough said. And it's not as
plus,
if Christian McCaffrey.
Plus, playing Wisconsin, right, a Big Ten team.
If Christian McCaffrey had done this in any other year, I would say 50-60% of the time he'd win the Heisman Trophy. Maybe more. Maybe if you go back in history, if he had this same season, he probably would have won it 70-80% of the time. So he just happened to pick a bad year. He's only a sophomore, so he'll be back. He just happened to pick a bad year because Derrick Henry was just unbelievable.
Well, Deshaun will be back too, though, Ray.
And Deshaun, yeah.
You know?
Deshaun Watson, the thing about him is he led the only undefeated team. And I feel like he didn't get enough respect. So I do
he's
think
good.
He, but like I said, the fact that he came in third, I think that was right. And he's still underrated.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. And I think what I liked best, I think all three of them are fine young gentlemen. And I thought that was, you know, so evident and seen. I thought the kid's speech, Henry's speech, was heartfelt. And it was really nice. And, you know, you just, I don't know. I think sometimes people are such negative cynics and sort of haters, you know, haters and jealous. And sometimes people forget, because these guys are such great athletes or whatever, that they're young men and they're kids and they have families. And a lot of them have, you know, hard upbringings and hardships that we couldn't even fathom. And, you know, to make it, and then to make it to this level, yeah, they need to be applauded, because it, you know, it's something else. It's really impressive. So I just, you know, it's good to see. And I always love to see all the old Heisman guys come back.
Ty Detmer.
You know. Yeah, Ty Detmer. Eddie George. You see, Eddie George is on Broadway. I thought that was dope. Oh, my gosh.
Eddie George
in Chicago, right?
He stays in shape.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Well, he's, you know, he's been doing football for, I think it was for Fox. So it's just great. It's all great to see. Now, look, it's time to leave the college football alone. I think next weekend we start the bowl season, right? So Ray and Tay will have to make some picks for the people on Friday, you know, start to, you know, pick some of these bowl games coming up. Now, it's not the big ones, you know, we still got a couple weeks for that, but, you know, we got to pick the other ones, too. You never forget 2 years ago, our caller,
oh
right?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Calling for
like,
this point spread of Fresno
line
State.
On the very first bowl game. Ray and Tay have some diverse sports knowledge and interests, but I'm not sure I'm ready to talk
about the
line.
Do you remember the team? Was it like North Texas versus Fresno State or something?
Oh,
or he called
my
from
God.
Fresno.
It's not
but
even
it
like,
crazy.
What do you think about the game? Which maybe,
he's
you
like
know, we could have
line.
An opinion. Like, what do you think about the line? And is the line correct? I was like, oh, my.
Oh, I love it. But you know what? We got to be ready for that. We got to be ready.
That's
perfect. No, definitely. So let's hit it, man. It's
Sunday. You're now listening to NFL Talk. Ray.
Injuries in week 14 of the NFL, some upsets and some games. And we start off with Sunday night because the Gronkinator was back. And it was so good to see him. He was
now,
there for the fantasy
that? He's
fans.
A quote-unquote game-time decision? He didn't look like a game-time decision to me.
Listen, it was coming out over the internet, Roto World and everywhere, for anybody who had Gronk Sunday morning, that he was going to play. I get pissed with the guys that are questionable, whether it's Megatron or Gary Barnage or Vincent Jack, you know, so you don't know if you should play him or not, Amendola. It was a couple that I wasn't sure, so I went with other guys, and, you know, it just messes you up, and it shouldn't be like that for the playoffs. You need to know if the dude is going to play, and I think the NFL, as big as fantasy football is, the NFL has got to just sort of clear
the active. And as much as they benefit from
active,
fantasy football, right? Let's not,
yes,
let's not
they've
get ourselves.
Got to clear that. Yep. No, it drives the business that every game is watchable, even the Cleveland 49er game, okay? So people need to know. I need to know that Gary Barnidge is not just questionable, that he's going to freaking start. Okay, that's my pet peeve. We talk a little fantasy this week. But 27-6, not much to say about Houston. I want to throw this at you. I mean, the Patriots, the kid James White is a great pickup. They just keep recycling guys. But with Gronk back, and then, you know, maybe Edelman comes back in week 17 or whatever, they clinch the playoff spot. They're probably going to be the number one seed with the mishaps of the other two and injuries as well. Do you feel confident back in the Patriots now? And there's a two-part question for you. Do you feel confident in the Patriots again? And if you had to do the draft over from 2 years ago, instead of Clowney, Mac Bortles, would the Texans take Bortles till they have a quarterback, or would they take Khalil Mack? Or is it unfair to say because Clowney's, you know, he had 2.5 sacks, what, last night or whatever. But
he's done nothing.
So, you know, answer me that. Maybe you answer me that first. Would you take Mac? Because
yes.
We know what Mac did.
Mac is the Mac, 5 sacks. They would take Mac or Bortles. In doing this draft over again, they would take either of them. They'd take Derek Carr, for that matter.
Yeah, I know.
But anybody but Clowney, which is not to say that Clowney in 5 years can't become Bruce Smith or even J.J. Watt.
Oh,
he could
he's
be.
He's got the
he
potential.
He still has
the
physical talent.
He looked pretty good last night.
He did.
Got to give it to him. He looked good.
And it also helps. And here's the disappointing part is that you got to believe he's never double teamed, right? With J.J. Watt on your same team. So that puts his, you know, 1.5 sacks coming into this game in his career kind of in perspective. It's like, really? You only have 1.5 sacks and that's what you're supposed to do and you're never going to be double teamed? So a little disappointed so far in Jadeveon Clowney, but like I said, the physical talent will overcome a lot, and as long as his head is right, he has nothing but upside. In terms of the AFC, and we tweeted about this,
mm-hmm.
at this time last week, your New England Patriots were the number 3 seed. And everybody was all about Denver and their defense and big Brock Osweiler and Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals. And lo and behold, the Patriots are back at number 1. And both the Broncos and the
Bengals are reeling.
The Bengals are reeling.
Question marks.
The Broncos have to decide, and I always said that it's Peyton Manning's job once they get to the playoffs. There's no way Brock Osweiler wins a playoff game even.
He looked bad.
And no knock on him, but, you know, he is a backup, and he's not ready. Maybe next year, maybe, you know, a little more.
Well, the offensive line, Ray, I mean, come on.
And
they
the
got to do something.
Line. No,
that was embarrassing.
Absolutely. And Andy Dalton going down means that, you know what, your Steelers, I don't know that they'll catch them.
Oh, yes.
But you certainly are,
got a
are
try. Got a chance.
Much better. And I'd hate to see them go down like this again because, remember, they have never won
Carson,
under the Marvin Lewis era a playoff game. And this one I'll give him a pass for, to lose your quarterback in week 14.
But to lose your quarterback against the Steelers, that's where they lost Carson to.
Oh, yeah,
isn't
with me, that's right.
Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of wild. So you're kind of digging the Patriots. I see that. Going back with some of the other afternoon games, not much to say about Dallas. They're finally done. Green Bay, McCarthy's got Eddie Lacy running the ball. Starks, I think that's good.
That's a
big deal
for them.
But let me ask you this. But with the defense, – I still have more faith right now, and they'd probably be the 4th seed, or the 3rd seed, I should say. But I still have a little bit more faith in Arizona, the Panthers, and the hottest team in football besides the Chiefs, the Seattle Seahawks. I don't trust the Packers yet. Do you know what I mean? This win over Dallas did not impress me. You know,
that. And you know what? Frankly, Dallas was playing very well on defense, and this game shouldn't have been this close. You could argue Dallas was hanging in until about 5 minutes left in the game, and Green Bay.
Right, they pulled away.
I think Green Bay's defense is fine. That was the thing I was worried about. It's their offense. They have no juice. That's why I think that Eddie Lacy and James Starks, that combo is very, very important. Because, like we keep saying, Rodgers does not have premier wide receivers. I mean, Randall Cobb is not a number one. He's not in that top 10, top 15 category, despite where he was taking in fantasy this year. He needs Jordy Nelson to take some of the double.
Yeah, no, Jordy is the
attention
Jordy's
away
jigger.
From him. And even Richard Rodgers is coming into his own, but you know their collection of wide receivers is
nobody's consistent.
Average at
nobody's
slightly
consistent.
Better than average at best, and they don't make plays. They don't get open. It's all about Aaron Rodgers basically guiding them the ball. So, yeah, Green Bay's in trouble, and I kept telling you don't worry about the Seattle Seahawks. Even without Jimmy Graham, these guys are doing big things. So,
we'll get
you know
to
what he
did because – so, actually, we'll get to him now, but I just want to say this. Look, they didn't have the season that we thought they were going to have, but that was a huge win for the organization, for the Raiders yesterday in Denver against a rival. Yeah, no Manning, but you know what? They couldn't do anything the first half, and Neps offensively, and their defense carried them, and they gutted out a win 15-12. So I just got to give props to Raiders Nation for that because I was definitely impressed with that
They're
defensive
on the upswing,
performance.
Man.
By,
I tell you,
man, yeah,
I would love –
A lot of these young
Raider
teams,
fan.
A lot of these teams. Yeah, especially if it's the L.A. Raiders, right? They're going to be they're going to be rocking and rolling. And listen, the Ravens, you know, it's just not their year. I mean, I think Trey Wingo tweeted out 40% of their rosters on IR of their salary cap.
Wow.
40% of their salary cap. I mean, you can't win with all the injuries. Now Forsett and all these guys, you know, 6 points. It's just what they could do. But let's talk about Russell Wilson because in the last 2 weeks he's had 5 touchdown passes. Most, you know, that's the most he's never done that in his career. But I think in the last 4 weeks he's had over 3 touchdown passes in each game. Doug Baldwin's had, 7 or 8 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks. He's a beast. You know, it's almost like they got better without Jimmy Graham. Unfortunately, now they're going to have to rely on Fred Jackson and whoever else their third back is because Thomas Rolls is done for the season with the ankle. And Beast Mode might be back week 17. Are you concerned about their running game, even though their passing game has gotten so good, these injuries, will it catch up to them for the Seahawks?
So, yes, I am worried. Like the Patriots, you know, at the end of the day, coaching is so important in the NFL and confidence and experience. So check, check, check. Coaching, confidence, experience for the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. But at the end of the day,
you got to run it.
You still have to win 3 games if you win your division, and then if you're in the wild card, you got to win 4 games to win the Super Bowl. So you still have to do it on the field. So you still have to have the physical talent to do it on the field, and substandard talent with great coaching, I'm not sure that wins a Super Bowl. So I am worried every time you start going deeper and deeper and deeper in the depth chart, especially this late in the season when you don't have a time to readjust. You know what I mean? So, yes, I'm worried. So I like the Seahawks just because I don't know that there's a dominant team in the NFC, I mean, except for the Carolina Panthers, but they've never been there. So, you know, this is a team that was 7-9 last year and in the playoffs. So, to me, the NFC is wide open, but you can't keep losing talented players and expect to go deep in the playoffs.
Well, look, so they're relying on your boy DeJuan Harris and Darrell Coleman, no related to Derek, with Fred Jackson. So, you know, you couldn't point those guys out in the lineup. So we'll see how they can do. you know, that should be interesting. I mean, your boy had 18 carries for 42 yards, DeJuan Harris. So we'll see. But I'll say this. I have to eat my words on even questioning Russell Wilson. And, you know, I've been a big fan of his the last couple of years. I've definitely been riding with the Seahawks. And I think he has, you know, overproven to me that he is just worth every penny of that contract and just so legitimate. Because no matter how good Baldwin has played, it's still Doug Baldwin, Lockett, who's up for Rookie of the Year. The kid's been outstanding. And Jermaine Kearse. And mainly no Graham, and those receivers are not that dynamic. So Russell Wilson has been playing well. And give Darrell Bevell some credit. People want to criticize him a lot, and he's actually been doing great as an OC. Yeah, well, he's done great. he's really done a great job. Now, you know who's not doing a great job is Kyle Shanahan and the disgusting zero-point Atlanta Falcons. I told you I don't believe in Matty Ice. You didn't believe in this team. And I'm forcing you.
It is one thing to not believe in a team, and there's another thing to lose 38 to nothing. I mean, that's embarrassing.
No.
Usually you check in, you check
totally
out in
right.
week 17, but they checked out
right.
in week 14.
They're still alive for a wild card, so it makes it that much worse. But I will say this. Right now, you need to pack your bags and go move to North Carolina and give them props. You officially need to give Cam Newton. You need a Panthers and a Hornets jersey ASAP because this man has been carrying your fantasy team and you still have not given him the props. You need to get an MVP Cam shirt and rock that and tweet that out because Cam Newton.
I'm out in fantasy because – oh, my running back,
Gio
Bernard.
I didn't see
yeah,
the rest
Peterson.
Of your team. Well, it wasn't Cam's fault. I don't know what happened.
No,
to, you know, you shouldn't
Cam's
rely on Giovanni, but Cam is not Cam. Can I tell you, he is, Ray, he's absurd. He's doing it any and every way possible. I'm just really happy. On a quick sidebar note, I just have to mention this because I just heard it on the radio in the car. I think it was Bomani Jones and whoever's on his show, Sports Radio. They're making fun of Cam Newton on his press conferences because, you know, he sometimes messes up his tenses and makes up words and missays sayings. And, you know, Cam might not have the greatest education and stuff, but I just don't think it's necessary to make fun. If anything, talk, you know, you should be like, hey, talk to the PR guy to help Cam out so he doesn't try to say words that he doesn't know the meaning or whatever. But to make fun of a guy and to, like, replay it on the air and all that stuff, that's ignorant. And shame on Bomani Jones. I don't like that. I think that's corny. So I just had to say that. That's yeah, it's funny in some sense, but it's too hateful. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not down with that because that's not funny that he doesn't know those things. You know, that's just a lack of education. Obviously, he's intelligent. He's done well in life and his playbook, and he understands concepts and stuff. But, you know, he doesn't maybe he can't speak properly his whole, you know, English grammar and all that stuff, but it, just to make fun of it, I'm not feeling that. I am feeling the Redskins. You like that. You like Kirk Cousins. The first tie for first place Redskins, Ray. Tell me that you're feeling some people, the Washington, they call them the Washington racial slurs. That's hilarious, by the way.
Oh, my God.
What'd you think
funny.
About that game? That is funny. What'd you think about that game? And that's a big win because, remember, they've been struggling on the road. You got to give them props, right?
You have to give him prop. It's a big win. And my man Jordan Reed, they found themselves a star in Jordan Reed. You know, they thought that
the
running game.
I didn't play him. He was on my bench. Ugh,
they
sick.
Thought that the running game would carry them, and it did in the first 3 weeks. And then it's been all the Jordan Reed show. You know what's
He's
interesting,
awesome.
Though? For better or for worse, the fact that the NFC is so bad. Look, I think Coughlin's gone. I think ultimately the Giants are just going to go younger and they're going to try and shake that up. But what this is doing is it's actually keeping Gruden and potentially Chip Kelly employed. Because had somebody run away with this division at 9, and let's say that right now they'd be, what, 9-5? Or even
right.
Eight
the other
six.
Two would be embarrassed for the seasons
other,
they're
exactly.
having. You're right.
The other cities would be embarrassed. The other owners would try to make a move in the off season, and it would be, you know, if there was a team at, you know, 11-5, and then a team at 9-7, and then you finish at 7-9, and somebody finishes at, you know, 6-10. So 7-9, 6-10 might make some changes. Now Dallas gets a pass because of the Romo and Bryan injuries, but Philly and the Giants and the Redskins are all terrible. And are they're at times they've been terrible and they've been they've mismanaged games and they've lost leads in the fourth quarter and yet they're
it's
all
been
in the
poor,
playoff
bad
hunt. And they're
it's
all
ugly
in
football,
the playoff
right?
hunt. So it's keeping their coaches employed next year, but ultimately, you know, they're winning by a, you know, they're getting into the playoffs. I don't want to say a loophole, but they're getting into a playoffs. But they're not one of the six best teams, you know, in football, in their conference.
Definitely not. Definitely not. I mean, nobody would debate that. You know, if you're a Philly fan, you're saying, you know, thank goodness that they were able to, you know, pull out that game. It was a weird game. You know, LeSean, I got to say shame on him. He kind of – I wasn't mad at the press conference on Thursday or Friday we spoke about on the show, but I was mad at after the game not talking, kissing the ground, going to hug the owner. And I get all that, and you don't have to give dap up Chip Kelly. But if you're going to talk all this stuff and make it about you, when you lose, don't leave it for your teammates to answer the questions. And you leave the field, don't shake anybody's hand, cry off like a little baby. Be man enough to talk to the press and do your job and be a professional at the end. That's the only thing I would say about Shady.
Well,
and he had a decent
that, but,
game. But
one of the biggest beefs was that Chip Kelly wasn't a man and didn't call him and didn't tell him about the whole trade and what was going on and that he was kind of out in the cold. So now your biggest beef is that nobody stood up and communicated with you and let you know what was going on and didn't call you afterwards or did or didn't, whatever, you know, depending on who you believe. And then you don't even show up for the press conference.
I think,
right?
You know what, I will say this. I don't give him a break for this, but I bet he was too emotional, and he probably would have said something really crazy. And I think maybe he thought to himself, I'm so upset and so hurt. You know, he went to Pitt. He's from the Pennsylvania area. He, you know, wanted to play his whole career there. And I just think it was so many emotions going on. I mean, he went and kissed the eagle sign at the hat.
Yeah, that's,
you know, even Chris Carter and Golic, they were like, we didn't do that when we came back to Philly. You know what I mean? So I think that there's just a lot there that we don't know about it, but I still think shame on him, bad job with that. Props to KC. They won an ugly game, but in the NFL, you got to win. You know, we haven't given enough props to the Jets for their dominating win, 30-8. So the AFC playoffs, right? The Jets and Chiefs are in at Chiefs 5, Jets 6. My Steelers are outside at 7. If they all win out, though, because of the AFC conference, the Steelers would beat the Jets in a tiebreaker and we would get the 6th seed. So, you know, because the Jets play the Cowboys, the Steelers have one less conference loss. So they would win that tiebreaker if everybody won out. But I want to ask you this. Are the Jets, if Revis is, you know, healthy and everything works out, are the Jets for real in the sense that can they win their next three? They do have the Cowboys and I forgot the rest of the schedule. It's a little bit more difficult. Oh, Cowboys, Bills, and Patriots. So that's a little bit rougher. You know, the Steelers host Denver and then play Baltimore and Cleveland. So, I mean, Cleveland and I'm sorry, not Baltimore. Cleveland and somebody else. It's another easy game. But do you think that the Jets could be in trouble? Or can they, their defense, can they get three wins? Or maybe they beat the Patriots week 17, they might play the Patriots, and the Patriots don't care? I mean, what do you think about the Jets' chances?
It's possible. It's possible that the Patriots are checked out. And think about this,
yeah.
You know, with a team that's that banged up, they're not going to take any chances. Forget about this trying to get the team in sync. I'm not sure that the first team will even go a series in week 17 if they have that number one seed.
That's a good point.
And remember that Denver plays Cincinnati, so one of those teams is going to get another loss. And, you know, they could, even without
and this week, the Denver goes
17,
to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That's
so they may not even need that week 17, and if they don't, you can believe that, you know, the third string guys are going to be playing for Bill Belichick as banged up as they are.
I think,
so having said that, I do think the Jets have a chance. Ryan Fitzpatrick's done a great job of limiting his interceptions, not losing the
a
game
great
for
season.
Him. Yeah, yeah, Brandon Marshall has been like that hybrid tight end, you know, wide receiver.
They're one of the best duos in the NFL, him and Decker. They're
Decker
leading in touchdowns,
Marshall,
the two of them, yeah.
This was
so
exactly
they're having a great
Decker
season.
Needed.
And we got to give some props, though, to the team. I told you they'd win this game. You went with the Colts 51-16.
Oof.
You got to believe. This is my six-year-old's one of his favorite teams. He likes the Panthers and the Jaguars, and the Jaguars are doing it right now. The last 2 weeks, they've been on fire, scored over 70 points. Can you believe that? 51-60. I mean, Bortles, now Yellen got a little banged up, but not just the Allen brothers and Hearns and Robinson who both showed off with touchdowns, but how about Rashard Greene, who people forgot about from Florida State, who had a great career, and now with him and Marquise Lee, they've got four legitimate receivers to grow old together. I mean, that's a solid four. I mean, you could put that four. I mean, the Allens, Lee and Green, you could put that four up with anybody. I'm impressed.
Oh, you really could.
Throwing Julius Thomas. Whoa, Blake Bortles.
Throwing Julius Thomas, throwing your boy T.J. Yeldon.
Woof.
This team and the Oakland – it's interesting. When we wrote that, you know, why do people watch fantasy, you know, check it out. There's this cool site out there called Tink Sports. If you're not into, if you, your friends are not into sports, check it out. It's for non-sports fans. And we tried to explain why people like fantasy. And we the game we used was Jacksonville, Oakland. How people will watch that game just because of fantasy interest. Well, you know what? If these two teams keep going the way they're going, people will watch that game for non-fantasy interest, you know what I mean? Because the football that's being played with those two teams, especially
and,
the young
and their season's
offenses,
not over, Ray. The Jags are still alive. If they win three in a row, Andrew Luck is looking like he might not make it back even for week 17. The kidney is just not healing fast enough.
Wow.
Hasselbeck's hurt, so Whitehurst might start. And then Hoyer's hurt, so T.J. Yates might go back in for the Texans. I mean, the Jaguars, the division is still in their hands. They have a legit shot. This is exciting for Jaguar fans. I'm happy.
And whatever happens this year, they're young. And so the next two, three years, these are going to be fun teams to watch. As everybody else,
the draft and free agency, they need offensive line and defense, right? They get a pass rush. And remember, their rookie got hurt. Wait till the kid comes back from Florida. What's his name again?
Defensive line.
From the Florida Gators. Now, when he Dante Fowler, right? When
Fowler,
he gets going, woof. So
he's
we got to talk about my Steelers
hybrid.
Oh, you
know,
he's
linebacker.
Nice.
He's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna. He got a little Derek Thomas in him, so we'll hope that he can get healthy and, you know, they're gonna be fine. But 33-20, Andy Dalton. It's looking like he's gonna be out a week or two. Maybe the rest of the season, you don't know with the thumb. You can't grip the ball. It's not broken, but he's going to be in a cast for a couple of weeks. You know, the MRI showed. But 33-20, I think I felt like we were going to win this game, even if Dalton played. Started off, you know, kind of jumped on him early, even before Dalton got hurt on the tackle. I thought he got hurt throwing the ball. Thumb hit a helmet, but it was, you know, after the interception, he got hit. The finger or the thumb hit the helmet there. So, but right now with D'Angelo Williams, Ben Roethlisberger,
Brown Sugar Bear,
Heath Miller back, Bryant, Wheaton, Antonio Brown, Darius Bay. I mean, the Steelers have the most explosive team right now in the NFL. And I'm telling you, from the sixth seed, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. I said it from the beginning. I'm sticking with it through the injuries. If Ponce ever comes back, which, you know, we don't know, maybe week 17 or the playoffs, we'll see. Even if he doesn't, the offensive line's played great. The Steelers' defense is they're doing okay. Now, does A.J. McCarron, you know, he kind of talks it up like he thinks he's Brady. What do you think he can do? Realistically, how do you think the kid will play? He's got moxie, right? He's got some moxie. I respect him, but how do you think the Bengals will finish out playing against Broncos, Niners, and I think it's Ravens? Probably 2-1.
Yeah, I think so. Niners and Ravens are basically checked out. Ravens just have had a – talk about a team that's been devastated by injury. I do think that they have a solid enough defense, the skill position players. You would really want the only thing with an A.J. McCarron is that you would really love – I mean, it's great to have A.J. Green and Sanu and Jones on the outside, but you really love up the
right.
middle. You would really want Tyler Eifert and –
who got hurt
Bernard
again, another
Jeremy
concussion.
Hill. I know.
You can't
that,
stay on the field,
that
right?
That is what saves a young quarterback is the running game –
And he might not be there next week.
Tight
That's
end.
Going to be
yeah.
interesting.
So, you know, I still think they'll be fine, but they need Andy Dalton, right? They need the red rifle to get back healthy if they want to do anything in the playoffs.
So, not much to talk about this game, but we got to give him a little props. Your boy Johnny Manziel didn't play so bad, 24-10. Are you, you know, you got to see the rest of the season, three more weeks, how he finishes out. What'd you think? Anything? I know you didn't like him signing that $100 bill before
Johnny,
the game.
Why?
Pre-game.
Why? Johnny, what?
Johnny just.
Just
he can't, you know what?
He can't
it's
help
almost
himself.
Like a, it's almost like a crackhead. He just can't. He cannot. He cannot help it. If you're not at the house, he will steal your TV. He can't help it. You know, he cannot. It's like he's got to, you know, if he doesn't
he
do the money
Johnny
sign, he's
good,
got
to, you know?
He's got to give you a little shimmy. He's got to shake something. He's got, it's just like he, you know, he's got that little showboating Texas in him. I don't know where it's from or what it is. He just thinks he's the cat's meow. And it's sad to see, and we got to talk about Gurley. He got another touchdown, hurt the knee, but they said he's going to be okay. And the Lions, they just hurt. Their hearts and their egos are hurt because the Lions played horrible. And I can't believe the Rams even beat them. That was a horrible game.
Just when they started playing okay, the Lions, you know?
Yeah, they had a couple of weeks there, right? We were like, wow, go ahead, Detroit.
And then you were like, oh, wow, if they had won that Seattle game, they would have been, you know, hovering around 500. And then the bad
interesting week. It's an interesting week. So let's get into Monday Night Football, and then obviously Thursday, the last of the Wild Uniform game should be fun, the Rams and Buccaneers. So tonight, the end of the week one of fantasy playoffs. I'm sure people have Tannehill and Eli and Odell and Miller and Landry and all these boys. So just, you know, all eyes will be on this set to see who advances in the playoffs for fantasy. But this is for a three-way tie in the NFC East. The Giants have to win to go 6-7 and keep pace with the rest of their messed-up division. I don't trust Miami. Even though they're at home, it'll be like a home game. A lot of New York fans down there for the Giants. I'm sure they'll have a lot of crowd, you know, on their side. I do like the interim coach, Dan Campbell. I don't think he'll keep the job. I think they'll go get a big name. I think I don't trust Tannehill. I don't know if I trust Eli. I think it will be a weird, ugly, back-and-forth game. And I think just on maybe Odell and something else, maybe enough talent, the Giants can squeak this one out. And I'll say it's 24-20 in just a weird, funny game. The Giants win. My fantasy stud, although I'm going against him, it doesn't matter. It's going to be Odell. I don't think the Dolphins secondary are going to, maybe Grimes could stick with him a bit, but Odell is just where I didn't believe that he was what he is. I wanted him to prove it to me this year. He's proved it and then some.
Oh,
he's a top three, if you know, top three wide receiver. It's him, Julio, and Antonio. Like the three of them are just they're on another level right now.
Yeah, maybe throw AJ Green in there too.
Yeah, yeah. Adriel Jeremiah is definitely in there. Did you like AJ to AJ? AJ,
yeah.
AJ McCarron, AJ Green. That was nice. So I'll say 96 yards, 2 touchdowns for Odell, and the Giants win 24-20.
So I think the end result is the same. The Giants win the game. I actually think the Giants take care of business. The Giants are one of those off-again, on-again, on-again, off-again teams, and I think this week they'll put it together. They had a long week. They're able to figure things out. They're going to get the protections right for Eli. Odell Beckham's a stud. I think, though, that Eli's my guy. I think Eli will spread it around. He'll throw for 300 yards. He'll get a touchdown or two maybe to Odell Beckham, but he'll get Vereen in the game. He'll get Randall. He'll get other receivers in the game, the tight ends. And the Giants will make this NFC East very, very interesting. Everybody will be in it till Week 17. And the great thing about Week 17 is they all play each other, right? And the Cowboys are out of it. But, you know, since the schedule change.
Rule change,
yeah.
Schedule change.
So that's
right.
Going to be awesome.
It will be. You just won't even know who will win and who will beat who. Just you'll know somebody will play the Cowboys. It must be, I think it's Philly. Might be Giants, Redskins, Cowboys, Eagles, something like that. I don't know. But it, either way, it, you, there's nobody you can trust out of the four of those teams. You know, you just can't really trust it. So let's talk about Thursday. Tampa Bay against St. Louis. This is, look, you feel bad for Tampa Bay losing to the Saints yesterday. It's just one of those games that, unfortunately, a rookie quarterback's going to have, and he had it at the wrong time. I think Jameis has had a great season, but, you know, he just couldn't do it against, you know, Drew Brees. And I think they bounce back. I think they beat the Rams. I don't like Foles and the Rams, and if Gurley's a little banged up and doesn't play, then they have nothing. You know, yeah, Tavon Austin might get your special teams touchdown or whatever. He's good for that every other week, but I just think Tampa will be able to take care of them in a weird game. I say 23-16 Tampa beats the Rams on Thursday Night Football, and I'll be interested more in the color choices than anything else with those jerseys. It might be the orange creamsicles against the yellow Rams. I don't know if they do the yellow gold. I don't know what's going to happen, but Thursday night should be fun. So I'll say Mike Evans. No, I'm going to go with Muscle Hamster. Doug Martin runs for about 85 and a touchdown and catches three or four balls. So that's my fantasy stud, Doug Martin.
You know what? I think the same, that Tampa will bounce back. St. Louis is a terrible team. I think they have so many questions there. Your boy Fisher's probably not going to come back. They probably need to clean house. They were fortunate
enough. They do, but do you think they'll get rid of him? I feel like he's not. I haven't heard anything like there's any pressure. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. They might even move, right? They might just want to totally start
fresh.
Well,
that would be the perfect. That would be the excuse to get rid of them. If they're leaving, they go to L.A. with a whole new thing.
Yeah. So I do believe that Tampa is a borderline 500 team, and I think they'll stay around 500, maybe finish the season 8-8. I still love the fact that Doug Martin is coming back into what he was 2 years ago. And then if they can ever stay healthy, Jackson and Evans are probably the two scariest receivers in the sense that they're so big and just you can't cover them. You know, and, I mean, you guys got three in Pittsburgh and in Wheaton, Bryant, and Brown, but these two
just. But we don't have that size. Yeah.
You look at them, like, it's like when they get off the bus, you're like, wow, I got a guard.
And they both run great routes. I like Vincent Jackson, he's good, and Evans is good too. Evans is good, he drops a little bit of balls though. Evans has been dropping some balls this year.
I know. Where's that concentration, Mike? Big Mike? So, yes, I agree. I think that it will be a Tampa Bay victory. And I'll say Jameis. I'll say Jameis throws for 275 and three touchdowns.
Famous Jameis. Okay, well, listen, it finally happened in the NBA. The Warriors, and listen, it's game 7 of the 7-game road trip from a back-to-back in double overtime game 6. They beat Boston. They were bound to lose. They got to Milwaukee at 3 a.m. They were
exhausted.
Not only that,
but they're playing banged up. They're playing without their coach.
Yeah.
They're playing, you know.
It's been a lot. It was the ninth game that Harrison Barnes had missed. Klay Thompson came back after missing a game, but he didn't shoot well, 4-for-14. I'm not even worried about it. I think it was actually good that they finally lost. Even Draymond Green said it. Now they can get back. And poor Phoenix has to go there Wednesday night. Phoenix is going to get annihilated in Golden State. It's going to be like they're going to come back home with, wow. They might score 130. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, and that's good, right? This has been a great story for the NBA because usually the NBA is so swallowed up in the beginning of the season from the NFL and college football that the NBA has had quite a bit of shine for its first, you know, 25 games because of what the Warriors have done.
Yes,
you know, so give them credit. You know, give them credit. They've brought a lot of eyes. People watching, you know, just random games because they want to see this streak and Steph Curry and what they're doing. I think now they got a little taste of the what LeBron called them, the Heatles. They were like the Beatles, the Miami Heat.
Yeah,
and that lasted
Heatles.
The whole season, though. That was you know, that was the craziest thing. This has been more positive. That was like a little jealous, a little excited, a little hateful to see the Heat. But so let's talk about the West. You know, the Spurs and OKC and, you know, the Clippers, they're 1-2, you know, they're 2-3-4. People are not playing so great. Have you gotten a feel for this Clipper team? And there's rumors that they want to now move Josh Smith and Lance Stephenson.
Yeah,
is it just not? Is it just not working out? Did they get the wrong bench players? Are these guys sort of more name than they are game now? I mean, they're so talented; it's hard to believe these guys
are
14-10.
Yeah.
I'm kind of baffled.
And the Clips are starting to play better, but then again, they're starting to cut back on their rotation. They're starting to go back to the proven veterans. They were hoping that Smith and Deshaun Stevenson, at least on paper, would give them a break. They want to keep Paul Pierce for the playoffs, obviously. Don't want to run him into too many minutes. And Chris Paul, frankly, is in, what, his 11th or 12th year. So they want to keep him fresh, too. You know, the Clippers, they're in an interesting position because that Western Conference is brutal. And this is really their time. You got to think, Chris Paul only has, what, 2 more years at the elite level? And I'm not sure that Blake Griffin, as good as he is, and the playoffs that he had last year were unbelievable. Something tells me that he can't put a team on his back and win a championship. So he needs Chris Paul.
I don't feel like he needs to. Yeah, he's got enough help. I think the problem, I hate to say it,
but I'm just saying it has to happen in the next 2 years because Chris Paul is
going
to fall
off. This is my read on it. I've come to realize, I hate to say it, it's DeAndre Jordan. And maybe Dallas is better for not overpaying and signing him because when you can't play in the fourth quarter because of your free throws and he's not an offensive threat at all, and he's such a liability, it's just defense and he can't sort of, you know, he also clogs up the lane, so it's harder for Blake and Chris Paul to penetrate and anybody else to get in there. I just think you'd almost be better off if they had a Robin Lopez or a, you know, a different center, Spencer Hawes, Myers Leonard. Like, I hate to say it, but I think they could
and
get.
And they're putting $21 million into him, right? So a lot of cap money is being soaked up by him.
I hate to say it, but it's almost like Blake, the game is smaller. We saw what the Warriors did. You could really, in this NBA, Ray, let's be honest, you could have Blake start at center. You'd be just fine. Get you a power forward.
Right, he wouldn't get abused
rebound.
By anybody. Nobody's abusing
right.
him. They may foul him out, but nobody's abusing
right,
Blake
but
Griffin.
go get you like the poor man's Kevin Love that can, like, you know, shoot a little outside, but he just goes and gets rebounds like Frank Kaminsky or Cody Zeller. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you don't need I feel like, you know, Blake needs space and room, and I feel like DeAndre Jordan just I just thought about it the other day. I was like, they're too talented to be 14-10 and too talented to not have already made it to a Western Conference Finals. And so what is it? And I think it's Jordan. I really do. Spacing in this day and age in the NBA and the fact that he just
right,
cannot
the exact
really
opposite
be on the floor.
Of Golden State.
Yeah. You getting excited for these Christmas games? I think we got some – should be kind of fun, some of these Christmas games. We'll obviously talk about it next week, but, you know, you should – the Warriors-Cavs is going to be, it's going to be pretty interesting. I want to ask you this. Looking at the West right now, 1-8, these are probably the 8 teams, right?
Yeah.
I would think
Houston,
so.
Houston put it together, right?
Right?
I hate the fact that they dropped Kevin McHale, but then they ended up winning right after that, so people are going to be like, oh, it's Kevin McHale's fault. I don't know about that, but, you know, certainly James Harden's playing much better than he had been. He was just jacking up way too many threes and being so inefficient from three. I don't know if signing that big, you know, contract went to his head or what. But, yeah, you got to think that Look at the three or four.
I mean, the seating could change. The seating could change.
But I'm saying, look
basically,
at the teams that are out.
Yeah.
Phoenix, Portland, Denver, and Minnesota. Sacramento.
I don't think any of them are going to catch Utah, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Pelicans dug themselves too deep a hole because I think you and I both had them in the playoffs. So they dug themselves too deep a hole in that Western Conference to be five games in the loss column out of the eighth seed already. That's tough.
That's tough, yeah,
Portland's overachieving. Your Phoenix Suns, you know, again, I don't know about
they
Eric Bledsoe.
They might have a chance.
When Eric Bledsoe's your best player, I'm not sure how good a team you are. You know, he's a good player, but don't get me wrong, but he's
player. Yeah, no, it's hard. Chandler, now they got Chandler coming off the bench, Alex Len starting. They're trying to figure it out there. They might have to trade Morris eventually, Markeith. I don't think he, even though he stayed, I don't think he's really good in the locker room, and maybe that could change things. I just think I'm looking at it. I'm like, wow, this is the eight. Like, I just don't see the seeding could change, but this might be the eight. Houston can move up. Dallas moves down. Memphis moves up. But this is probably the eight.
You know what's crazy is that in the Eastern Conference is within 2.5
they're all tied.
Games, they're all tied. Exactly.
Even first place Cleveland is not doing so great.
Yeah. I mean, they're only
15-7.
Half a game up on Toronto, but
yeah.
2.5 games separate 1 through 9. That's crazy.
That's amazing.
That just means that
it's wide open.
Wide open, yeah. Only
I mean, right now, can you imagine
Knicks,
Atlanta?
Man.
Atlanta's out. Well, listen, the Knicks, put it like this. They are having a better season than most thought. And at 11-14, and Melo's not 100% yet, I think they're doing pretty darn good. And I think
as a player.
Yes, Chris Stapps. He
like
got a little song. They had a little song for him the other day. Chris Stapps, Porzingis. But, you know, Orlando, Washington, these teams could get in, and Atlanta could get in, you know. So you don't know, like, if you really look at 6, 7, and 8, who knows, even Indiana could drop out. So I do think the East will be more fascinating, the home stretch. And then as we get closer to the All-Star break, you'll get more of a clear picture. Right now, most teams have played, you know, 24 to 26 games. So, you know, we're a little bit past that quarter point of the season. So there's still some things to be worked out. And John Wall's okay, but then Bradley Beal got hurt. So, you know, Washington can't get a break. They need to sign Kevin Durant. But let's talk college hoops, man, as we finish up the show. We got the rankings. It was a good weekend. I remember I called UCLA would beat Gonzaga, so they've beaten Gonzaga and Kentucky. And tell me what you think about what Texas did. That was a big win at home for Shaka Smart beating our Tar Heels to sort of set the program real nice.
Yeah, that was a sweet win. It took a buzzer beater to beat Carolina. Carolina's lost 2 games. But you know what? I'm not that worried. Carolina's be fine.
No,
Carolina's good. They have talent.
Yeah.
They have, you know, Marcus Paige. They fall to number 11, you know. But that's all right. Like I said, you know, they still have a full ACC conference schedule to go through. So, you know, for being in December, the question is Michigan State really that good? I mean,
I don't think so. We talked about it on Friday. I don't think so. Look, Florida played them well. They hung on and won. You know, Xavier beat Cincinnati, so they're number 10. I mean, that top 10, Purdue, you know, they got some – there's some good teams. I honestly feel looking at the top – this season's so wide open, the top probably 15 teams have a shot to win the championship. From 15 up. Like, that's how wide open it is to me, you know, with everybody staying healthy, you know, give or take a team here or there. But I think it's just a wide open season. You get that feel. Look, Oklahoma's got a great backcourt. That Big 12 is going to be amazing, Ray, with Kansas, Iowa State, and Oklahoma. Throw in Texas and on the upswing. So that should be fun. And then the Big 10 is going to be fun with Maryland, Michigan State, you know, there's going to be some Purdue. There's some big games there. And then, of course, the ACC, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia. So we got great basketball ahead of us. I'm excited. The college basketball scene is going to start to heat up. And plus, you can't forget Villanova. Oof, they're
they never go away, right? They're always around.
They don't. You know, and you got to give credit to the coach.
Yeah.
Jay Wright's a
Jay
great
Wright
coach.
Jay Wright is always there. He's always there. His squad is always right there.
And Sean Miller in Arizona, you know, so. So it's going to be good. Good sports week. Enjoy the games tonight. You know, you got some good NBA coming up this week. Obviously, Wednesday, the ESPN game. You got that Golden State game back at home against Phoenix. Thursday night football. And tonight, man, let's go Giants, the G-men.
Yeah, make that NFC East interesting. Why not, right? Why not have all three teams tied going into week 15?
It's sort of unbelievable, right? You just can't believe you're watching it. But, you know, now it seems like every year, if it's not the NFC South or the AFC South, now the NFC East, there's always a division or two that they're just having subpar seasons. And this year just happens to be two divisions.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
The AFC South and NFC East are terrible.
What if the Jaguars and Redskins are the two winners?
Oh, boy.
Wouldn't that be something? Wow. Gosh. I tell you.
Any of the
anyway,
NFC
Ray.
teams make an interesting story. But, yeah, we'll talk about it on Friday. We got
well,
a lot
it should
of
be
stuff
Philly,
going.
Right? They don't even play DeMarco Murray. That's
yeah.
a whole other story.
Oh,
that's
wait,
a mess.
Programming note, we're probably coming on Thursday.
Yes, yes.
So keep that in mind. Put that in your calendars. Thursday.
Yep, 7:30.
Special. Ray and Tay
we'll be back.
Today edition, right before the Thursday game. So
yeah,
we'll talk
get
about
to preview
it.
That a little bit more. Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks for listening.
Have a
we
great sports
are
week.
Out. Definitely. And bundle up. I know the East Coast's pretty warm. It's cold out here in Arizona. 40 degrees this morning.